Hi, my name is Megan Ermey, and I'll be reading our theme scripture today from John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has yet not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind that is used for Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water and knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him.
Thank you so much, Megan Ermey. My people! GC Surrey Hills Church, come on! Man! You know, when we moved to the studio out in Richland, of course, we transformed that whole place, as you guys may have seen. When we did that and I got speaking in front of people again, I was actually nervous. I was really nervous. Even though I was staring at a camera because we got everybody off to the sides in the studio, I got nervous. And then it was this morning, I think it was, I was talking to Megan, my wife, and she said, I'm nervous today. And she goes, "Why?" I said, "I haven't spoken face-to-face like this in like 7 months. It's been a minute. It has been a minute." Uh-oh. Just so much awesomeness coming through the mic. Is that what it is? Sorry, guys. I'll try to tone it down a little bit. Oh. Do we need to switch? I can keep going. Well, I know it's not too much awesomeness because Megan was using this mic. Too much awesomeness, then it would have gone to blow it up when she was singing. So I'm just saying. So it is so good to see all of you here in person. It's so good to see all of you online. It is such a blessing and an honor. And if this is your first time here, I just want to say welcome. You belong here. You belong here. And I want to, if you don't know me, and if you're watching online, you don't know me, I am Joe Brannon, and I am first a beloved child of God who has the honor and privilege to be the lead pastor here at Grace Communion Surrey Hills. And you may be watching this right now and thinking, "Joe, I'm not a church person. I'm not a religious person. I don't know much about scripture or anything like that." Well, I want you to know that you belong here, because we are not about a set of rules and regulations and principles and concepts, but we, my brothers and sisters, we are passionate about a person. We are passionate about a person that brings abundant life, and that person is Jesus. That person is Jesus. And the reason why we can say that is because we have experienced that life transformation in Jesus. Can I get an amen? You guys are really far away. I'm going to have to hear that a little bit louder. So, and you're wearing masks, so keep that in mind. Oh, there we go. I like that. That was good. That was good. So I just want to give a recap. We've been going through the sermon series, At the Heart. And we are on week 9. This is a very long series that we've been going through. And we have been discussing what is at the heart of Grace Communion Surrey Hills. And so we've been going through the core values. Because the core values are at the heart of who we are, what we do, and it keeps us focused on the unique call that we have as a local church. And so we're going to go through our core values real quick as a reminder, all right? Now, you guys that are in person, all right, you guys better bring it. Because in the studio, it's only like, I don't know, like 7-8 people, and they really bring it when we're going through these core values, okay? So I want to hear you if you know them, okay? So we're going to start with the first one. We always start with Jesus. Period. We value and love all people. We are guided by God's word. We are all about relationship. We are better together. I'm really glad that you guys are over here, actually. It kind of feels like the studio almost. So I like it. I appreciate it. So I can like talk to you guys. It's great. We believe in being irrationally generous, and we keep it real. We meet people where they are. And this week, my brothers and sisters, it's a blessing this week because I have got a deal for you. For one low price, you get two core values for the price of one. You guys are excited to get through these core values, I guess. I'm just kidding. So the next two core values that we're going to go through is we are wholehearted and we like to have fun. Trust me, we like to have fun. We really do. But I'm going to be focusing on being wholehearted. But before we get into that, I want to briefly mention our core value that we like to have fun. You see, life is good. Life is good because of Jesus. Life is good because of Jesus. In John 10:10, it says, I have come, Jesus is talking here, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I came so they can have a full life, so you can have a full life, so you can have a full life. I was listening to a podcast this week, and the host quoted an evangelical speaker by the name of Bob George about the life we have in Christ. And this is how the quote goes. Listen to this. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Amen? So that he could give his life to us. So that he can live his life through us. Why do we like to have fun? Because the life that we have found in Jesus Christ, we can't help but have fun. Is life tough? Whew. Boy, life is tough. But we have life in and through Jesus Christ. And so we can say that we like to have fun because of that life. But this week we're going to focus on the core value. We are wholehearted. So before we get into that, let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, we just pause before you and we just thank you so much that we are included in your life. That we already belong to you and that you love us unconditionally. I pray right now that our hearts and our minds and our ears are open to what it is that you are trying to speak to us. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been working on a project or played on a sports team or playing a game, and you were giving your absolute all? You were all in it. I don't want to point anybody out, but I was playing basketball with the Maccabees right here in the front, and I gave my all. I was all in on that. It wasn't very good, but it was my best. It was my best. You know, you're playing that sport, and you're just laying it all down. You're giving your absolute all. You're giving your absolute best. And then you look over at this other person. You look at this other person, and you think, are you really trying? Come on, can I get an amen? That you are giving your all, and this person over here, you can tell that they are not giving their best. And you're thinking, are you trying to be really bad? Are you really giving your all? I'm doing enough for you, but I really need you to pick up your slack. You're not giving your all. It is so frustrating. So frustrating. Have you ever been doing something, been involved in something, was experiencing something that you thought, my heart's not in this? Or maybe after whatever it is that you were involved in or that you were a part of, you looked back and you thought, my heart was not in that. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was a coworker or a job, and you thought, my heart's not in this. It wasn't my best. Today's passage is one of my favorite passages. You got Jesus and his disciples and his mom that are at this wedding feast. And I'll tell you what, Jewish wedding feasts, they were a big party. It usually lasted several days. There was a lot of eating, a lot of drinking, and it was just a big, big celebration. It was no small task. And typically in that tradition, you would have them start with the best wine. The host or the bridegroom, they would actually start with the best wine. They would bring out the top shelf wine, and they would hand it out to the guests and everything to woo them, to really show off. And then when they've had a little too much to drink, it kind of starts tasting the same, so they bring in the bottom shelf wine to bring it because they can't tell a difference. They're feeling really good, so there's no reason to continue bringing out the good stuff. So they bring in the bottom shelf stuff. Because when you've been drinking like that, it all starts tasting the same. Not that I would know that. That's for a different sermon, I guess. You see, in our text, we had Jesus, who hadn't started his ministry publicly yet. He hadn't started his ministry publicly yet. And his mom knew who Jesus was and knew what he was capable of doing. So she was like, hey, Jesus, you should go take care of this problem. And you see, Jesus had every right to not have his heart in this miracle. He had every right because he wasn't ready to go public with his ministry. Because even the most important people, think about this, even the most important people that could spread the news of what he was doing in his ministry, they didn't even know. It was the servants. They're the ones that knew. And so it wasn't the right time for Jesus to start. And so Jesus had every right to say, no. So we got the master of ceremonies that takes a drink of this wine. obviously it made an impact that he drinks this and he goes to the bridegroom. So we pick it up in verse 10. It says, a host. You got this master of ceremonies that's speaking to the bridegroom. A host always serves the best wine first. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. Did you catch that? The less expensive wine. He says that the host always serves the best wine first, and then he brings in the less expensive wine. But then the master of ceremonies says, but you have kept the best until now. So even the best that was brought out from the beginning still wasn't the best. Because the master of ceremony says, you have brought the best out now. Jesus had every right to bring in the less expensive wine. Everybody already had plenty to drink, so he could have brought out the cheap stuff and served it. But he didn't. He brought the best. He was wholehearted in this miracle, giving the best. When we say we are wholehearted, we are saying that we are a church that responds to God's best by bringing our best, being wholehearted in everything we do. When we're talking about being wholehearted, I'm talking about everything that we do. It's about being wholehearted in sharing Jesus' love for all people. Being wholehearted in relationship with one another. Being wholehearted in our connect groups. Being wholehearted with our irrational generosity. Being wholehearted in our authenticity with one another. Sharing in one another's burdens. Being wholehearted, meeting people where they are. Being wholehearted in the fun that we have. Being wholehearted in sending others out to love and serve other communities, our neighbors. Being wholehearted with our children in the GC Surrey Kids Ministry. Being wholehearted in loving God. Being wholehearted in loving people. Being wholehearted in serving others. As Megan and the team makes their way up here, you see, brothers and sisters, Jesus was and is wholehearted, always giving his best. He was wholehearted in his love, giving his best. He was wholehearted while he hung on the cross, giving all of himself. He was wholehearted in his resurrection, not just allowing part of him to be resurrected, but all of him. Not just including some of humanity in his life of resurrection, but including all humanity, wholehearted. Jesus was and is wholehearted with his life, giving all of himself continually. Today he is pouring himself out to you. You see, being wholehearted, giving our best, it's a response. It's a response to what Jesus has already done. It's a response to His wholeheartedness. Giving our best and being wholehearted, we can't do to earn something, to earn His love, because He's wholehearted, giving His absolute best to you. You see, when we see what we have in and through Jesus, our hearts change. When we see what we have in and through Jesus, our hearts change to a heart of gratitude. Because it's really difficult to give your absolute best when you're so worried about what you don't have. Because you become so focused on, I don't have this, I don't have enough of this. And until our hearts change and we start to have gratitude, can we really ever give our absolute best? You see, God wants your best. He wants your best because He's wholehearted and He wants your whole heart. In Matthew 22, verse 37 through 38, you see, Jesus was asked a question by some teachers of the law, some Jewish leaders, and they asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus replies, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. God wants our whole heart. He wants every single bit of it. And He will not stop pursuing you until He has all of you. His love will constantly pursue you, never giving up. And when we put things in the way, when we put things in the way, guess what? Jesus' love makes a way. It makes a way right in and through whatever it is that we put in our way. When we start to experience that life transformation, we start to see what Jesus has done for us and continues to do for us and to give us. And I'm not talking about the blessings of the nice big house and the car and everything, but He has given Himself. He's given you the air to breathe. He's given you the lungs to breathe in that air. And He is constantly pouring His whole heart to you. So when we start to have that heart transformation and we start to have that heart of gratitude, then we bring our best, because our best is Jesus's.
It's his life. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, thank you for being so wholehearted, pouring everything out, giving everything, loving unconditionally. And I pray that we can see your love in our lives through the difficult times, through the challenges, through the joyous times, and that we respond to your wholeheartedness, giving our absolute best to you, being wholehearted in our relationships, being wholehearted in the love that we pour out to other people, being wholehearted with every aspect of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in and through your name. Amen.